All right, we are going to talk about Elisha, the purifier. Some of you remember Nick Gresda, our Albanian friend who came to Christ while in this country and led a group of us as a translator back to Albania. And I was with Nick and Lizzie, who also came to this church, daughter of missionaries to Thailand and Japan. And Nick's starting a new business in Albania. He's working for the central bank right now, but he's starting a new business, water purifying. And the pure water over there that they serve in bottles is generally tap water that they try to pretend has some kind of natural spring in its past, which is not true. They just have the bottles, they pour tap water into it and sell it. So he, with a couple other Christian investors, are going to take a very special entrepreneurial step and have real purified water for the Albanians, and then try to use the results of that business for Christian purposes. It's nice to have pure water. It's nice to have unpolluted food. And we learn today a central proposition. Boy, it's hot in here. That's not our proposition. All right. No heat. We'll be freezing by the time the sermon this morning, so you can look forward to that event. That is to say, here is the proposition. Nature grows poison as well as food. Nature grows poison as well as food. One of the great buzzwords of our day is natural. If you're going to do an advertising campaign, you love to have words that have pleasurable, healthy associations. And one of the best associations of our day is natural. I was minding my own business approaching church this morning. There was a restaurant to my right that said, all natural, all day. So you go into that restaurant and you find nothing but natural foods. And all day at that, 24 hours a day. Vitamins that are overpriced always used as a justification that, unlike those other ugly synthetic vitamins, these are all natural. Reminds me, I had the chief scientist at Shackley cross-examined, and after several hours of relentless pursuit, he made a fatal admission that caused the stock of Shackley to be suspended from trading from the stock exchange, because he admitted that, notwithstanding what Shackley said, the body knows no difference between synthetic and natural vitamins. But, sad to say for Shackley people, somehow they had the idea that synthetic vitamins would just kill your cells, strangle them, asphyxiate them, whereas natural vitamins are in harmony with nature and would therefore give you rosy pink cheeks and full health. The idea that nature is an undefiled good is a big lie, because nature is somewhat indiscriminate, and nature grows poison as well as food. There's some quite natural things. You can't make a natural vitamin C, by the way, because in order to get your minimum daily requirement out of rose hips, the pill would have to be about this big. That's why Shackley used to buy their vitamin C from Ralston Purina. But that's the way that was then. This was then. I don't make any claims about what Shackley's doing today. Ralston Purina, if it's good enough for Fido, it's good enough for you. Nature has that wonderful kind of appeal to people. If it's natural, it must be good. Now, there's an element of truth to that, because God made nature. And to the extent you can be close to what God made rather than what we made, it sounds only reasonable that we'll be better off doing something natural, certainly, than something unnatural. But in this veil of tears we live in, we have to realize the truth of a proposition. And that is, nature grows poison as well as food. And therefore, we better not be deceived by the easy lie of our satanic enemy, who says, what could be wrong with doing what comes naturally? You know, one of the chief lies of the devil is for you to believe his hype that if it feels natural, oh, it feels so natural, it must be good. That is to say, all the sins that the devil wants to titillate us with in the moment of exhilaration when we commit those sins seem to be natural. Eating food is natural. At the point that we weigh 650 pounds, that natural food is killing us, because nature grows poison as well as food. In fact, there was a great, great toxicologist named Paracelsus. And Paracelsus has a maxim that has never been discarded, even though he lived many centuries ago. He was the first great toxicologist. Toxic is poison. Ecologist is the study of poison. And he said that every single thing you can eat in nature or drink in nature is poisonous. It's only a matter of degree. People have been killed by drinking too much water, about as innocent an activity as you can have. There are vitamins that if you keep eating them, and you eat too many of them, you will kill yourself. Paracelsus, the great toxicologist. Now, even very toxic things can seem natural. Why do we refer to intoxication? A lot of Christians today believe that they can joyfully get mildly intoxicated with 40-proof wine. Wine is sold today is 20% alcohol by volume or 40-proof. Which in biblical times would be viewed as strong drink. But in some Christian circles, it's almost mandatory to drink. And the idea is, it's Christian to get mildly intoxicated, but not Christian to get really pickled. I don't know where the line is. Is it 0.04? If 0.08 is intoxicated for driving, but 0.04 Christians can go to 0.06. They get a buzz from their wine drinking, and they think, well, it's kind of natural. It feels natural. Let's understand the basic proposition. Nature grows poison as well as food. And just because something feels natural or convinces us in our desires that doing what comes naturally is good, doesn't mean there is not, as we see, death in the pot. Because the devil is able to transform himself into an angel of light. The devil is a master hype artist, a master con man, a master salesman. And what he attempts to do to us is say that Christian living, godly living, is somehow unnatural. And if we were living according to nature, we would fulfill our natural desires. It's unnatural to see a beautiful tree in the Garden of Eden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's unnatural not to reach out, grab that luscious fruit and take that first bite and feel all that flavor explode in our mouth. That's unnatural! That's natural to do what he advises, which is to take that fruit and just enjoy it. The proposition, nature grows poison as well as food. We learn that because we see today that there can be death in the pot. And however we celebrate all natural all day, nonetheless, we have to be wary of nature because nature grows poison as well as food. All right, let's understand, first of all, a happy picnic. There have been some dearth in the land. The economy has had a downturn. The crops haven't been producing as normal. Elisha has been very, very busy in his prophetic and pastoral ministries. He has a little school of the prophets. The sons of the prophets are growing up to take on their parents' or their fathers' ministries. And the sons of the prophets, along with Elijah, have an opportunity to kick back and have a picnic. The assembled are godly people. They're sons of the prophets. They are really in a prophet's apprenticeship program. And you can imagine how nice it is, the kind of fellowship that they have together at this particular occasion. Great was the company of the preachers, it says in the Bible. The preachers, prophets are great company. And they have an agenda. A great fun time is have a little picnic together, have a little meal, have a little repast. And amidst all the studies and amidst all the apprenticeship and all the duties of serving others that the prophets were called to do, it's nice just to have a little glen and go into that little glen and have a little food together in Gilgal. And there was an appearance here of health and wellness, because we see how they were going to eat. They were going to eat all natural. They were going to have nothing but natural fare. They were being, for the time, vegans. They were going to eat a nice, tasty vegetable soup. A happy picnic, however, disguises a hidden peril. What could be safer than nature and nature's special blessings of natural cuisine? Well, we have, first of all, a common pot. We got a little place to make a crackling fire. And they've got a great pot. Elisha said to his servants, "Set on the great pot." We're out in the market for an oven that can have a big enough pot in it. At the Warner Stellion sale a couple weeks ago. And we found that. Now, unfortunately, it doesn't fit where the old oven was. Oh, you don't get me started. All right. In any case, it's nice to have a big pot when you have a big family. You need some big vessels. And here's the family of the sons of the prophets. It's a big, big pot. They're going to have a common pot. And they're going to go out and gather herbs. Verse 39. 38, set on the great pot, seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. One went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lap full, and came and shred them in the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass that they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, "Oh, man of God, there's death in the pot." We have a crisis. The crisis is, all of a sudden, they have seethed this pottage. Can't you see them gathering all these vegetables, all this wonderful product of nature? And they're shredding it, and they're putting all kinds of wonderful vegetables in this vegetable soup. And all of a sudden, they ladle it out, and they start to drink it. And the reaction is the Hebrew word, yikes. Oops. All right. There's a serious crisis. This seems to be a deadly mixture. Wait a minute, it's all natural. How could it be deadly? Well, you see, nature grows poison as well as food. And the cause of this particular crisis is carelessness. In what's taken in. Carelessness in what's gathered in life, what's taken in. Things that seem very, very natural, nonetheless gathered with a careless eye, without regard to their danger, can be lethal. Do you know how many times people start off and they take that first drink of alcohol and they don't realize there's death in the pot? And it's ultimately going to be the worst curse that anybody could have in their life. Totally addicted to drink. DWIs, broken relationships, assaultive behavior in jails, beating up their significant other. Lost jobs, a horrible feeling of self-loathing and contempt. There's death in the pot. It seemed natural. People take those first drags off a cigarette and they say, after a while, it seems kind of natural and good. Don't believe all those warnings on the package. What could be more natural than tobacco leaf? A very natural product. That's what nature grows. It grows tobacco leaves. Or how about Indian hemp? Cannabis sativa. Yeah, doing a little weed, that's pretty natural. Don't believe all this reefer madness nonsense. And all of a sudden people go up the escalator of drugs from one to another. And before you know it, they are utterly broken physically, mentally, emotionally, psychologically. Because they didn't realize there was death in the pot. Or how about promiscuous sexuality? We're bombarded everywhere with sensuality in our day. There was a little computer opportunity to watch a football game on computer, and little ads came up in between time. Why don't you sleep with another woman's wife? Find out how on this website. I mean, this was not a pornographic channel. This was simply a sports event being piped in, and little side things I saw come up on the bar. I'm so and so. Meet me later tonight, or whatever. All kinds of come on ads for fornication and for adultery and for prostitution. You can not listen to most of the music of our day, or go to the movies of our day, or go anywhere today, watch billboards of the day without seeing the bombardment of sensuality. It's all of a sudden a view that being pure, one man, one wife, one life, that's so unnatural compared to just doing what comes naturally. And people don't realize there's death in the pot. And when they're broken down, and when they're diseased, or when they have AIDS, when they are one of a growing group of population that have sexually transmitted diseases, and after they have all kinds of terror, and I don't know whether Tiger Woods' wife took after him with a 9-iron or not. I don't know that. I just don't know that. But life becomes awfully complicated because there's death in that pot of sexuality and sensuality outside of marriage. There's death in the pot. They just gather all the things. It looks good. Looks like it's nice to put in the pot. They don't realize there's death in the pot. I know some people went into being Christian artists, so-called. They said there was such rampant sensuality and such rampant immorality that people who sincerely even go into Christian contemporary music or rock music almost invariably don't realize there's death in the pot. And they live in such immoral way that this person who was a star herself said, you can't believe all these big names in Christian contemporary music and how they live. There's death in the pot. Well, it sounds natural. Yeah, it's just kind of a nice little riff, and put Christian words to it, and it's so wholesome and nice. There's death in the pot. Or starting just to cheat a little bit, whether it's cheating on your exams or cheating on your tests, and you get by, and no one catches you. You don't realize there's death in the pot. There's a great athlete, University of Minnesota. His coach told me that he was the one player who was a surefire player in the NBA. Bench presses 325 pounds, a great, great offensive player, great rebounder. Got a tremendous opportunity, a full ride to the university and a play for a ranked team. And he's caught shoplifting and then suspected for a crime of taking somebody else's laptop. Now, that probably wasn't the first time he did that. And I'm sure there was an exhilaration when you can walk into a shop and put something in your pocket and walk out, get it free. There's kind of a sense that it's almost natural, feels right. And after all, it's covered by insurance. And you don't realize that there's death in the pot. You start down that road, and ultimately, you're convicted of crimes. And ultimately, you're put in a cage like an animal, year after year after year. There's death in the pot. You see, we have to realize that nature grows poison as well as food. And the devil's basic sales technique is to convince you that sin is natural and godliness is unnatural, and that if you want to live according to nature, you live naturally. Now, there's some people who eschew various kinds of life-saving technologies in medicine because they think they're somehow unnatural. They don't realize that their nature in this fallen world sometimes inclines them to chronic or lethal medical problems that can be cured by reversing certain natural things scientifically. Now, that's not to say that all scientific medicine works or it doesn't have sometimes costs that outweigh the benefits. But the fact is, nature isn't always the best way because nature grows poison as well as food. And in our life, we often use the justification of nature for our sins. You have an explosive temper. Kind of feels good to ventilate it. Get it off your chest. It's unnatural to hold in that anger you got. It feels so good when you ventilate it into the air. Death in the pot of anger and wrath and malice. No, it's natural. My dad was like that. My grandpa was like that. We all have a short fuse. That's just the way we are. That is our nature. People who engage in perverted sexuality say, that's the way I'm made. Being a perverted person, being sexually perverted, that's natural. I'm just doing what's natural. And they drink that devil's Kool-Aid. And they believe that acting out on perverted impulses is really natural. Yeah, that Indian hemp that you smoke, that's very natural stuff. The fermentation process is natural. You drink, you start a life of drink. You're putting natural stuff into your body. Unfortunately, it's intoxicating. It's bringing toxic things into your life. I just saw another study that revealed like one-third of all the people who start drinking socially have terribly destructive consequences on their health and life, become alcoholics. So basically you say, we'll put not a six-shooter, but a three-shooter, and we'll put one bullet in those three cylinders, and we'll go, this is exciting. I have no way of knowing whether I'm going to be one in three or two in three who just have mild consequences for this. Hey, that was fun, wasn't it? Now, there's death in the pot. And here we have a good example, a happy picnic of the godliest and most spiritual people. The sons of the prophet are kicking back and having a good time, and they're going around, and look at all this good natural stuff. They're herbs and they're gourds, and it's all nature all day. All day, all natural. Let's throw it in the pot. And they don't realize that carelessness in this matter can cause a great crisis. Let's, for once and for all, tell the devil when he tells us that doing sin is natural because it feels natural, it feels right, it goes along with our nature. Let's understand he's a liar. And being godly is not unnatural. So many people justify little compromises with the world on the grounds that, see, it didn't hurt me. I got involved in this kind of marketplace, this kind of world. I kind of did this kind of thing. I watch those television programs, and when I watch, there are only five vulgarities, and the fact they were living together without a marriage, or they were in prostitution, or that two of the characters were gay. It was a fun show anyway, right? It was fun. Why would I laugh if it weren't natural to have enjoyment from this? Not understanding that there's death in the pot. How much poison does it take in a pot to be destructive to you? Well, I guess it depends on the kind of poison. It doesn't take a whole lot of arsenic to really spoil Campbell's tomato soup. It just doesn't. And the fact is that the devil is an expert of taking natural things and killing you with them. Let's understand then, finally, a horrific plea. Man of God, there's death in the pot. This is basically, what do we do now? Let's understand, first of all, who it's addressed to. The prophet. O thou man of God. What's the primary function of a man of God? A primary function of a man of God is to show people things that they don't know in God's world of cause and effect. You see, we live in a rational universe because God is a God of reason. And in every area of life, there's a cause and effect. It's amazing. Some people don't get it. When I was public defender, I would be nice. I was chief public defender. I'd take arraignments, show what a nice guy I was. And in traffic court, about 90% of the people had alcohol problems. In criminal court, and misdemeanor court, about 90% of the people had alcohol problems. And even though they had a rap sheet and they continued to get into trouble, and they were living a miserable life, even though they were talented people in other ways or potentially very good, hardworking citizens, a lot of them never connected up the fact that their drinking was a problem. Well, sometimes they have interventions and about eight friends sit around and say, you know, George, you got a problem. I do? Yeah, those six DWIs and all the time you're spending at the workhouse in Parker's Lake and, you know, the lost jobs and, you know, you got a problem, George. Oh, I don't have a problem. I can take it or leave it. I remember one guy I saddled next to. You never forget that smell of alcohol coming through the pores after a night in jail. It was not my favorite part of being a public defender in those days. And the guy, after I introduced myself as the public defender, he retained me. He said, by the way, he said, what am I charged with? I said, well, it says here, two counts of DWI and an open bottle. You're charged with essentially drunk driving. He says, that's impossible. I said, you mean you weren't driving last night? Oh, I was driving, but I didn't have a drop to drink. He still smelled like, you know, a distillery. He didn't think he had a problem at all. The prophet is able to identify cause and effect and create opportunities for you to get well. You see, the prophets of the Old Testament saw the terrible problems that were visiting Israel. And everybody else said, what's the deal? How come now the Assyrians are threatening? How come the Babylonians are threatening? How come there's famine in the land? How come there's pestilence in the land? We don't get it. We haven't done anything wrong. And the prophet comes and says, wait a minute, there's death in the pot. Here is the reason these adverse consequences are happening in your life. There's cause and effect here. God says you worship idols and you're going to have these consequences. God says you do this, this is what's going to happen. You want to live like the Egyptians in your sexual life, you're going to have all the Egyptians' diseases. There's cause and effect. Oh, I get it. So now they don't know what the problem is. And so there's death in the pot, but they say, oh, thou man of God, what do we do? There's death in the pot. You see, the problem for people who are careless with taking things into their body, into their family, into their home, and not immediately understanding the problem is they don't know that there's going to be death in the pot. And then all of a sudden, the time they react is when they start keeling over, or there's a bitter taste in their mouth, and then they wonder why. Most people wait until the terrible consequences come. Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man. With a furious man thou shalt not go. Well, a woman gets involved with an angry man, but he's kind of nice. And boy, it's fun when they make up, and he seems pretty decent. And all of a sudden, they marry in haste, and as Ben Franklin said, they repent at leisure. They see the bitterness that was in that pot only when they really fully taste it. And Christians in our day, as they lose their particular distinctiveness in walking a holy and pure life, are forgetting something. That if they're not careful, gathering those things that seem so natural, those gourds of what everyone else eats, that there's death in the pot. And they see the problem, but they don't know the cause of it. But the prophet here is an expert purifier. He's able to purify this deadly concoction of herbs by miraculously using some particular flower. He brings meal, casts it in the pot, and said, pour out for this people that they may eat, and there was no harm in the pot. Did the same thing with the water. Maybe Nick Gresda ought to call his new business Elisha Water in Albania. Maybe that'd be a good sales technique, because all of a sudden there's that brackish water, and Elisha throws salt in the water. That is to say, here's the problem we have, because we've all made this mistake. We've made the all-natural mistake. We've done things that we thought seemed natural, that seemed to be against the unnatural strictness of Christian living. And all of a sudden, we've awakened to the poison, like these sons of prophets, we hope, before it ultimately kills us spiritually or physically. And the good news is that by God's grace, that poison can be mitigated, that poison can be taken away. and we can have a wholesome life again. The good news is that having found that there's death in the pot, that's the first step toward wholesome and healthy living. When we finally realize there's a cause and effect, and some of the consequences we've been getting in our life for listening to the devil's lie, that nature is only good, and nature only produces food, and our nature only produces food, not poison. When all of a sudden we say, this nature is killing me. This nature is going to have me in the grave. Well, then when we came to that realization, God can come in through his mercy and grace and sanctify our lives and put that meal in that takes away the poison that we'd put into our own pot. Because there's no sinner who is beyond redemption. There's no poison of sin that can't be taken care of by the Lord himself. Well, it's an advertising campaign. That's what the restaurant says, all natural, all day. And the devil loves to advertise his wares as just being natural. And if you don't die right away, he says, see? All natural, all day. But let's remember, nature grows poison as well as food. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee for the warning that we have in this short vignette, this short scriptural story. And Lord, how often that we are misled. We're sold a bill of goods by the devil. And we think drinking or immorality, bad talking, or anger, evil imaginations, sensuality, all these different things seem so natural to us. And yet, there's death in the pot. Lord, help us to be careful to see thy spiritual nature and help us to understand that when we've realized that there are consequences to the things that we've tried to ingest and put in our life, our families, our homes, that we'll call upon the prophet, call upon the Lord himself to put his special meal into our pots and cause us to live a pure, unpolluted, and holy life before thee. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll come to know him even before this morning is out. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.